This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Welcome to Kennedy Classics. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. As we look around, the spiritual heartbeat of America seems to be weakening to the critical point. Christians are mocked while the Olympics are used by our own president as a pro-homosexual platform. An idolatrous mass wedding ceremony is televised to the nation on a major award show. And the governor of one of the country's largest states says that pro-life, pro-family, pro-constitution citizens should get out.
But there is good news, too. God is not mocked, nor does his word return to him void. On today's program, we'll take an in-depth look at the nation's spiritual pulse from a biblical perspective. We'll analyze some news-making events from recent weeks and help you understand what they mean for America. And we'll share some resources with you that will show you the heights we have fallen from as a nation and how we can get back.
But first, my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, exposes the factors leading to America's decline and also shares some good news in his message, The Spiritual Pulse of America.
Our scripture lesson today is taken from the third chapter of John and from the 33rd Psalm, John chapter 3. We shall begin with the first verse. May we hear the inspired word of the living God. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And in the 12th verse of the 33rd Psalm, we read, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And may God speak to us today from his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. How is America doing spiritually and morally? Well, there is no doubt that in many ways the moral situation in America continues to decline. We have succeeded in removing the Bible and prayer from our schools, and the results of this have been far more overwhelming than most people have imagined. You know, there is a cost to unbelief. Secularism comes with a high price tag. Our morals, without scripture and without prayer, have continued to plummet. As William J. Bennett has put it, former Secretary of Education, quote, over the last three decades, we have experienced substantial social regression. Today, the forces of social decomposition are challenging and in some instances, I might say many, are overtaking the forces of social composition. Don Feder, who is a witty columnist, not a Christian, he is Jewish by faith, in his book, A Jewish Conservative Looks at Pagan America, he sums up what's going on in our schools in this way. He says it reached a point where public school students can experience anything, things that the average sailor on shore leave would never imagine of encountering, except God. Sex, education, suicide studies, lifeboat ethics, condom distribution, abortion pleading, all of which are part of the humanist creed, constitute the propagation of all aspects of public school experience in the 1990s. It is only prayers, Bible, and references to the Supreme Being which have been ruled out. Our nation has been engaged for over 30 years in a great experiment, and that is whether or not any people can live with God pushed into a corner of their lives, never to be seen. The ACLU, that's the Anti-Christian Litigation Union. It's really ironic that they have convinced many people that they are as American as apple pie. They are the American Civil Liberties Union, founded by was it Abraham Lincoln or George Washington? Founded by Roger Baldwin, who said in a public speech, quote, communism is the goal. And on whose board of directors there were two chairmen, subsequent chairmen of the Communist Party of America. American Civil Liberties? Hogwash. And of course, they have been busy as usual. They love the holiday season. Their favorite Christmas carol, I guess you know what that is. You don't know what that is. Away with the manger. Someone said they greatly resemble the Grinch who stole Christmas. Well, he didn't succeed, and neither will they, though they have done their very best to remove every single vestige of Christianity from the public square. In spite of the fact that George Washington said it would be impossible to govern without God and the Bible, John Adams said it would be impossible to govern without God and the Ten Commandments, but we've gotten rid of the Bible and the Ten Commandments, and we wonder why it's impossible to govern. Or as one of our founding fathers said, we have no constitution in power capable of dealing with an irreligious or an immoral people. We have no constitution capable of dealing with the kind of people that the ACLU is trying to create. One of the economic problems of our time, and I remember somebody said one time they can't even imagine a church making reference to the federal debt. Why, that's not a moral issue, that's an economic issue, right? Wrong. What would you think of a couple of parents who went out and lived so lavishly, they continued to borrow more and more and more money to do anything and go everywhere and buy everything they wanted, and then they died? And they left hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt for their children and their grandchildren to pay off. Now that's very obviously a moral issue. And so is it when we leave hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of interest payments to our children and grandchildren to pay off. The great problem in America, Mr. Bennett described it as social composition and social decomposition. The Bible describes it in similar concepts but different words. You know, the Bible is all about three things. Not only is the Bible about these things, but the entire history of mankind can be described in three simple words, and they are generation, degeneration, and regeneration. That's the whole story of the Bible. Generation, degeneration, and regeneration. God generated the heavens and the earth. Man degenerated as he fell into sin, and God, through Christ and by his Spirit, is regenerating the human race. As we read today, Christ said, "You must be born again." The theological term for that is regeneration, recreation. The problems in America all boil down to one simple word, and that is sin. That's the only problem America has. Sin. And the only answer to that problem is Christ. And by his gospel and through his Spirit, lives can be utterly transformed. I think of Star Parker. Well, if there ever was a welfare queen, Star Parker was she. In fact, she described herself in that way. She was involved in all of the hazards of drug, debauchery, promiscuity, crime, illegitimacy, and abortion. Her whole life was just a litany of those kinds of woes. And then she was dramatically converted to Jesus Christ. She got off welfare, went back to school, earned a degree, started a business, became successful, got into ministry, married a pastor, is engaged in helping people everywhere. She was born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ah, dear one, get involved in the most exciting thing that's happening in the whole world, generation, degeneration, and regeneration, and we can become a part of that. I am excited about what's going to happen. And you know something? You don't see any of this in the newspaper. It's a secret. They don't know it's happening. Don't tell anyone. It's our own little conspiracy. We are going to turn the world upside down. That's what they said about the apostles in Acts. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. May they say that about us. Amen. Only we are going to turn it right side up. Won't you stand? Oh God, may we not be onlookers, spectators, in the greatest drama of the ages, the regeneration of the world, but may we become a part of it. May we determine that we are going to be used by thee to draw many to Jesus Christ, to see their lives changed, and through them, this entire nation, for Christ's sake. Amen.
As my father shared in his message today, America is becoming more secular, and the results have been staggering. At the same time, with God, we are never without hope. It's vital, however, that we understand what's happening around us from a biblical perspective. With a look at some of the hot-button issues that we faced even in recent weeks in our culture and what they mean for us, here is our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb and John Rabe.
We are gathered here to celebrate love and harmony.
Late last month, a mass marriage ceremony including same-sex weddings was broadcast live on the CBS television network.
By the power vested in me by the state of California, I now pronounce you unmarried.
Incredibly, it was done as part of a mock worship service. On the same program, another performer took the stage as a witch wearing occult symbols and dancing in fire.
What was that program? Obviously, it was the Grammy Awards, telecast to over 28 million viewers. John, how low can we go? What other cultural taboos can possibly be broken?
It's hard to imagine at this point, Jerry. The entertainment industry, and particularly the movie industry, has reveled in trying to break taboos for decades. But it seems that this broadcast actually almost elicited yawns across the nation. It's as if we've gone as far as we can go now. And I think the most offensive aspect of this was the fact that there really was, with these same-sex weddings that were performed, it was in the context of a mock worship service. But it most certainly was not the true God who was being worshipped.
Yeah, for example, they had stained glass windows,
right,
and a choir and so forth. So all the trappings of a Christian service. But you say they weren't worshiping the one true God?
No, and that's really what we would come to expect in a culture under judgment. Romans 1, Paul talks about this exact thing. And he talks about a culture under judgment. And in a culture under judgment, idolatry takes hold. The creature is worshiped rather than the creator. And the men give up natural use of the men. The women give up natural use of the women. You just wouldn't expect to see it quite as blatantly portrayed as this. And that's what they did.
But, you know, this does not reflect the values of millions and millions of Americans. And yet this is broadcast around the world. And this is what a lot of people will think. This is what Americans are into.
Well, on the
obviously
other,
some are.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have to face the fact that it does reflect the at least the implicit morality of millions and millions of other Americans. I think we're past the point where we can say this is way out on the edge of what Americans believe. American opinion is moving in that direction as well. And so, yes, I think it's been led there by the entertainment industry, but it's not as if there's a huge separation between the entertainment industry and the rest of America anymore either.
A disturbing aspect of all this, John, is the fact that culture, Hollywood, for example, precedes what happens in politics.
That's right, and we see it reflected in a recent, very shocking statement from the governor of no less than the state of New York.
Well, let's hear Andrew Cuomo in his own words.
Who are they? Are they these extreme conservatives who are right to life, a poor assault weapon, anti-gay? Is that who they are? Because if that's who they are, and if they are the extreme conservatives, they have no place in the state of New York.
That's amazing, John, that he could actually say that. They're not welcome in New York.
Now, evidently, he walked that statement back a little bit, and he was talking specifically about the Republican Party in New York and some division within the party. But the fact remains that the governor of one of our major states felt comfortable enough in today's political atmosphere to declare that pro-life, pro-family, pro-constitution people have no place in his state. That's remarkable.
So that's the chief executive of New York. What about the chief executive of the country, where he's basically said he's going to bypass the will of Congress if they're not going to do what he wants them to do?
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
John, this is very disturbing because America is not a banana republic.
No, and the president actually reiterated this stance in his State of the Union address in late January. And the fact is, as you know very well, Jerry, the founders of this country, when they wrote our Constitution, did it to divide the powers of government. They were very concerned about one branch or one centralized power of the government running roughshod over the others. And yet, what is it that the president is announcing? He's saying that he doesn't care what Congress does. He's going to impose his own will will by executive order. He doesn't have the constitutional authority to do that, and it undermines really the entire basis of our constitutional republic.
Don't we have three co-equal branches of government?
Well, we're supposed to by the design of the founders, but this directly undermines that.
It's very disturbing to see this, especially, for example, with the president giving executive orders when Congress is meeting, when they're in session, not when they're out of session, but in session.
Well, that's right. And to do it when you have, it would be one thing, it would still be unconstitutional, but if you were 70% in your popularity ratings, at least you could claim some mandate for it. But when you're in the 30s, how do you claim to impose your will over the entire nation? The problem with all of this, Jerry, is we're talking about a culture, again, that seems to be under the judgment of God, that is moving away from the true God towards idolatry. Whenever that happens, there will be a false God that will be set up. And unfortunately, we see through history, the state presents a very appealing idol when we've turned away from the true God.
Well, John, you know author and speaker and historian Bill Federer, and we asked him about executive orders.
We're seeing the deterioration of our form of government. Lincoln said, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That was his Gettysburg Address in 1863. Well, when the president has an agenda that the people don't want, and he's convinced that it's so good he's going to shove it through anyway, then it's no longer a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's a dictatorship.
When I hear dictatorship, I think of the ultimate example. I'm not saying anybody's a Nazi here, but Adolf Hitler, of course, was a Nazi. And when they were in charge in Germany in 1938, they passed a law making it illegal to homeschool your children. Just recently, a judge in Germany said that this one family is not allowed to have custody of their children back, that the state took from them. What was their crime? Homeschooling their children. A law passed under Hitler and the Nazis.
And this is happening in 2014 Germany. And so the question is, well, what does that have to do with America? And as you point out, we're not comparing anyone to Hitler. But what we are saying is that there's a law that was put in under the ultimate statist regime in Germany that's still being enforced today. And there's a family in America, the Romeika family, we've updated our viewers on their story numerous times, that fled Germany because they wanted to be able to educate their children according to Christian principles. They wanted to be able to homeschool them. The Obama administration is acting and vigorously fighting to deport the Romeika family back to Germany, saying that that right to homeschool your children is not significant enough to cause them to have to flee Germany, and essentially wanting to return them back to this statist system. So our own government is showing at least sympathy with it, and that's something that we should be very troubled by.
You know, I think as we look at the whole American landscape and try and take its spiritual pulse, although there are many, many godly people and trying to do the best they can to rear their families the right way and all that. Sure. Bottom line is, we're like a nation of idolaters.
We've moved away from the Word of God. We've moved away from the Ten Commandments, the first of which is that you shall have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, is that as America moves away from the Word of God, as America moves away from God himself, something else will come in as God, whether it's the state, whether it's idolatrous affections towards one another. Something will replace him, and we're seeing the vestiges of that all around us. America needs to return by the power of the Holy Spirit to the Word of God. We need repentance poured out as we are right now a nation under judgment.
You know, honestly, John, when I say God bless America, I'm always saying, may God bless America with repentance and a third great awakening.
Yes.
And Ronald Reagan once said this about the Holy Word of God, which is what we need to return to as a nation. He said, inside the Bible's pages lie all of the answers to all of the problems man has ever known. And with that, we'll close this segment on the spiritual pulse of the nation. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
There are undoubtedly major difficulties that lie before us as a nation. It's simply amazing that in our nation, with our Constitution, abortion and homosexual marriage would be held up as so-called constitutional rights, while on the other hand, the governor of New York, one of the original 13 states, would feel politically safe in demanding that people who are pro-life and pro-biblical marriage leave his state. Without a doubt, much ground has been lost. But with God's help, it can be regained. One of the reasons this ungodly, secular agenda has been able to make such inroads is that Americans became spiritually anemic and historically ignorant. It's absolutely essential that we regain an understanding of the Christian basis for our nation and the biblical authority that guided so many of our great founders and leaders. That's why we've produced a compelling new DVD bundle called The Bible and the Presidents. This 4-DVD set contains classic messages from my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, on some of the most important presidents America has ever had: George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln. And we want to send it to you today when you give a generous gift to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007. Or call toll-free 877-942-7677 or go online to truthinaction.org. Those who want to remake America in their own secular image have distorted the truth about these great men and the principles upon which they governed America. But in these classic messages, my father clears away the fog and shares the truth about the deeply Christian-influenced beliefs of these iconic statesmen, which was one of Dad's great passions. You'll want to have these messages in order to build your own resource library, as well as to share with your children and grandchildren, who likely won't hear this in school or anywhere else. And if you contact us right away, we'll also include the booklet, What They Believed, which includes written versions of these messages. We'll send you the 4-DVD set, The Bible and the Presidents, as well as the booklet, What They Believed, when you give a generous gift to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online to truthinaction.org.
Some of you can give a gift of $30. Others can give $50 or even $100 or $1,000 or more. Every gift is valuable as we seek to broadcast biblical truth on important issues like this through any means possible. So please contact us today, and may God bless you as you do.
And may God bless America.
Next week on Kennedy Classics.
Regardless of how much knowledge, faith, or zeal we have, if we don't have much courage, we're not going to accomplish a lot in the ministry, or for that matter, in life.
He met with a congregation on a Sunday evening, 17 members in the audience.
He said, "You know, we can change the world."
God has used this man, D. James Kennedy, to see hundreds of millions of lives changed worldwide.
That's next week. A video of today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. So please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of Truth in Action Ministries.